Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Amen, amen. Today, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to Romans, the sixth chapter. We're in a series called Controlling the Flesh. I want to just rewind your thinking as we talk about controlling the flesh, because we've been in Romans chapter number 6. And in Romans 6, it shares with us about our lives. We saw in the first part of this series what we look like, our makeup. We are made in the image of God, and God is three in one. You remember that? He's one God. It's not three gods. It's the same God, but three expressions of his person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you don't understand that, all you got to do is just look at yourself to really understand, because you're made in the image of God. Therefore, you can see God's likeness in yourself. We're three-part beings as well. You say, I thought it was just me. This is me right here. This is me. No, no, no. That's part of you, but that's not the whole you. Remember, we saw that we are a spirit. That's the real you on the inside of you, that if you died, that would live on eternally. That's the essence of who you really are. That's what animates your life, is the spirit. But you are a spirit who has a soul. What is that? It's your mind, your thoughts, your will, your emotions, your desires, and your passions. And you live in a body. This is just the earth suit. This is the tent, if you will, that you're lodging in while you're sojourning here on the earth. And we talked about the fact that something happens when our body and our soul get together. If you remember from last time, our body and our soul, when they link up together, something happens, that the body and soul will take over. Okay, can I get that next slide, please? That was your cue, guys, in the back. There we go. Unrighteousness happens, right? We find ourselves under sin's dominion. When our body and our soul link up together, it cancels out the spirit. And you can see that that operates us under the law. Now, all of a sudden, there is a penalty and a punishment for our actions, and it puts us under the wrong system, because we know that the wages of sin, in the end of the book of Romans chapter 6, says is what? Death. Now, on the other side of that, though, if our soul and our spirit get together, that is now righteousness. It's God's dominion, and it puts us under God's system, which is the grace of God, the power of God, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. Now, the guys in the back might have been waiting for me to say something about the fact that the spirit and the body cannot get back together. So can we put up that first slide once again? Look at that. See how there's the little circle with the line through it and the arrows? The spirit and the body cannot work together. In fact, the Bible says that they're in opposition to one another. Literally, there's a war being waged right now, that the body is lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the body. They're at odds and they cannot work together. And that's why it's important that we link up our spirit with our soul, because that will dominate the body rather than the body and the soul dominating our spirit. With those thoughts in mind, let's continue on in Romans, the sixth chapter. We're going to be reading verse number 15 down through verse number 20. It says this in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 15. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? Can you read these next two words with me? Certainly not. Remember, we asked, should Christians sin? And we all said, no, we shouldn't. But we still do. Well, let's see what happens. Verse 16, it says, do not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Remember, we said last time we were together, you're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And right there we see it, it's all in the presentation. It's where we yield ourselves to, whether the spirit and the soul yielding ourselves to God, or the body and the soul yielding ourselves to sin. Verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Now that, when it says doctrine, that just means systems of teaching. That's really what that is. A doctrine is a system of understanding. It's a way that things are taught from the Bible. So there are doctrines about your life, doctrine about salvation, doctrines of sin, doctrines of the devil, that you'll find that there are ungodly teachings that are out there in this world. But there are also doctrines of grace and doctrines of the goodness of God and the Spirit of God, things that we can understand. And he says, you were delivered a system of teaching so that you could understand about God, and therefore you're no longer slaves of sin. Now you can be slaves of God and of righteousness. It says this in verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness. Look at this, for holiness. I want you to just note that word holiness. We'll come back to that word later on, and we'll find out more about it. Then it comes along in verse number 20, and it says this, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Notice that when we were slaves of sin, it says we were free with regard to righteousness. We didn't operate in righteousness. So the converse would be true as well, that now that we're slaves of righteousness, we're free in regard to sin. Not free to sin, but free from sin. Everybody understand the difference? Okay, because that's a big distinction. One little word can ruin your life. It doesn't mean, grace does not mean that we are free to sin. It means that we are free from sin. You no longer have to be bound by sin. You no longer have to be bound by that old master. Now, once again, with our diagram, okay, this is just a representation. It's not anything other than that. I just want to show you what we just saw in the book of Romans, chapter number 6, verse 15 through 20. So let's start with our body and our soul. Notice that it says that we're slaves of sin. And we know that sin produces death, right? The wages of sin is death. We already said that. What is death? Separation. In this sense, when you sin, you're separated from the life of God. That's the separation we see. Which brings us to the point of uncleanness. See, when you were delivered the doctrine, when you said yes to Jesus, your heart and life was cleaned up by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now as you operate in the things of God, there's a washing of the water of the Word of God that cleans up your life. It continues to clean you up. But when you choose to allow your body and your soul to link up, you operate in sin and death, which brings you to the point of uncleanness. Now you're no longer cleansed by the blood. Now you're spotted by sin. Which brings us to the last part of lawlessness. Remember, it says you're under the law, but you're doing what? You are a lawbreaker. You're no longer abiding by the laws of God, which puts you under the penalty of the law, which is death. But also, not just the law of God. Sometimes people think the only law is the law of Moses. Well, we're not bound by the law any longer. No, you're not. But you still have the laws of God written on your heart. There's the law of love. Jesus said, a new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, right? If you're operating in the law of love, then you're not going to hurt your neighbor. You're not going to covet. You're not going to murder. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to dishonor your father and your mother. Are you listening? And if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then guess what? You're not going to create an idol or put anything in front of God. You will hold to the Ten Commandments. Why? Because you've got the law written on your heart, the law of love. But also, the Bible talks about us being a law unto ourselves. Did you know that? We all have a conscience. We all have a mind, will, and emotions, like I said. And yeah, maybe you've done this. I know I've done this. Maybe you've been in sin, and you decided, you know what? I'm never doing that again. I'm drawing a line, and I'm not going to cross that line. I'm not doing it. And after a while, you said, well, you know what? It's not that bad. Yeah, I'll just go a little bit over the line. Maybe I'll just do it. And you wait and see if, you know, God smites you. You know what I mean? And because nothing happened, what do you do? You say, well, maybe it's okay. I've already done it before. I guess, you know, I might as well jump in and do it again. And we beat ourselves up. We find ourselves being lawless. We're no longer following the ways of God or even our own boundaries and borders. In fact, the book of 1 John says that sin is lawlessness. That's what happens when our body and our soul link up. And that's what we just saw in Romans chapter 6, verse 15 through 20. But on the opposite end, when our soul and our spirit link up together, something else takes place. Look at this, obedience. Now we're obeying the laws of God. And that brings us to a place of righteousness. What is that? That's the right standing with God. That's the right position and the right practice that we have with God, which brings us to a place of holiness. Remember, I said that we're going to come back to that word. What does holiness mean? Holiness is anything that is associated with God because God is holy. Let me use this term. I think it's a good word for it. It means exclusivity. God is exclusively God. He's nothing else other than God. He is the only God. That title of God is only His to claim. He is the one true and living God. Therefore, He is holy. He is exclusively God. And the Bible says, He declares, I will not share my glory with any other. What is that? That's exclusivity. That's alone for me. Why? Because I'm God and I'm a holy God. And anything associated with God becomes holy. That's why when you gave your heart and life to the Lord, you became a holy person of God. That's why the church is a holy place. Why? Because this church is God's church. That's why the Bible is called the Holy Bible. Many of you guys, you have your Bibles and written right on the front, Holy Bible. Why? Because this is God's word. It's associated with God. It came from God. Therefore, it's exclusive. It is His and it is holy. It's special. Something special about it. See, when your spirit and your mind link up with the Spirit of God, now all of a sudden you're associated with God, you're going to be obedient, you're going to be righteous, but guess what else? I'm exclusively His. I'm a holy person of God. And my life is separate from everything else. It's exclusive. This is a life that's lived just for God. Are you listening today? That's where we want to be. I love what Rick Renner, who was a pastor in Moscow and a missionary, great man of God and a Greek scholar, he said this. He said, whatever you give your mind to will eventually become your master. You think about this for a second. If you're hungry and you're thinking about those cookies that you hid in the pantry from the kids because you didn't want them to get them, you knew you wanted some. You're laughing because you know you do it. I'm going to put this behind all of the healthy food so that the kids don't get to it. But if you're thinking about that, eventually you're going to find yourself going to the pantry, right? If you're thinking about a vacation, what are you going to eventually be doing? You're going to be on the internet. You're going to be looking up locations. You're going to be calling a travel agent or, you know, going on Expedia or Travelocity or one of those things, right? You're going to be finding yourself. Why? Because whatever you give your mind to will eventually become your master. Same thing with the flesh and the spirit. If your mind is on your flesh is going to rule you. If it's on doing me, I got to do me. Man, I got to feel good. I got to make a provision for this. If your mind is given to the things that your flesh desires, eventually that's going to become your master. And you're going to miss the mark. You're going to end up in sin. But if your mind is on the things of the spirit, guess what? Then God becomes your master. That's the way that life should be lived for us as believers. Because God dictates our destiny. We cannot let the devil dictate our destiny. The devil has no say. God is my master. Satan, you were a horrible master before, but I'm not under you any longer. Now, God is my master. God dictates my destiny. And devil, you have no say. No longer are you going to rule over my life, but we have to make a choice of whom we're going to serve. Because we will eventually become slaves to the one that we present our bodies to, our members to. See, the Apostle Paul uses this word called slave. Now, this word was the worst word that he possibly could have used. In the Bible, there are different definitions of slavery. One of them is servitude. It talks about when you owe a debt and you go and you serve somebody as their slave in order to pay off a debt. Well, you know, there's good news about that is that once you pay off the debt, you're no longer a slave. You can go free. But even in that scenario, did you know that there were people that said, hey, you know what? I love my master. I love what I'm doing. And my master gave me a wife and I got kids now. I really enjoy what I'm doing. I want to stay in this house. And so they would pierce their ear to the doorframe and they would become a slave of love rather than out of legalism or law. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Because I know when I started serving God, I realized, man, I love this. I love my master. I love my wife and my kids. I love what God has me doing. God, hey, go ahead, pierce my ear to the door, God. Just nail me down here, God. I want to be a part of the fixtures. I love you, God. I want to serve you for the rest of my days as your love slave, God. I'm yours. It's not out of law that I serve God. It's out of love that I serve God. But the Apostle Paul doesn't talk about that. He talks about a slave. And one commentator said it like this, someone who is swallowed up in the will of someone else. Completely swallowed up in the will of another. See, in our land, we don't look at slavery as servitude. We don't look at it as a good thing, right? It's detestable. It's horrible. We think about it in those terms, don't we? Someone who was bought with money, who no longer had their own identity, they no longer had their own will, they were completely swallowed up in the will of someone else. There was no getting away. And we think of it in those terms, and that's the terms that the Apostle Paul is using. If you give yourself to the flesh, then you're going to end up being completely swallowed up in the will of sin and in the will of the devil. But if you give yourself to the Spirit to serve God, you will be completely swallowed up in the will of God. You see the difference. Let me show this to you in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 2. Turn there with me. You're in Romans, turn past 1 and 2 Corinthians. Over past Galatians to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter number 2, we're going to read verse number 1 through verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse number 1, says this. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you, everybody say me. Notice he's talking to you. and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, anybody in your Bibles have the words he made alive in italics? Let me just see a show of hands. Anybody, as you're looking at your Bible, okay, a bunch of you guys have that. Anytime you see in the scriptures, if it's italicized, that means that those words were not there in the original text. So let's read it and let's omit those words, because those words weren't really there in the original. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Interesting. It still makes sense, doesn't it? Why? Because he's pointing out a condition. He's pointing out a place. See, we like to focus on he made us alive, but that wasn't there in the original text. He's not emphasizing that. He's saying you who were dead. There was a position you were in. Verse 2, in which you once walked or lived according to the course of this world. Now stop right there for a second. Did you know that there is a way that this world goes? There is groupthink, if you will. There is a mob mentality. There is a current that's flowing in a direction. If you've ever looked at the news and you wondered, how could so many people be so stupid? Come on, don't look at me like you're so holy yet. We're all getting sanctified. We're all on the way. But you know you've thought that. I've thought that. How could everybody be so dumb? Why are they just taking this? Hook, line, and sinker. Everybody thinks this way? Well, here's the reason why. They're caught in the flow. There is a course of this world. If you wonder why on October 7th, a people could attack a nation, rape people, murder them, take them captive for 2 years, and the whole world is mad at the people that are coming in, you know who I'm talking about right now. That doesn't make sense why we'd be protesting the people who are responding to an attack. And yet they're doing it all over the world. Why? They're caught up in the course of this world. It's an ungodly agenda. If you've ever wondered, why would people think that it's okay for boys to play in girls' sports? How come they're letting these little boys into the bathrooms? I know what teenage boys are thinking about at that age. And it's not about becoming a girl. Hello? They're letting men who think that they're women into the women's prisons, and then they're wondering why they're getting raped? Is it okay if we talk? Can we just reason for a second? Is that all right? Why would anyone vote that way? I know you've wondered this, because I've wondered it. Here's the reason why. They're caught up in the course of this world. There is a way that people think, it's okay, everybody's doing it. Times have changed. This is how it is. Most of the people who claim that they're homosexual or even bisexual are still in relationships with people of the other sex. Why? Because they're just caught up in a system of this world. They're not actually living it out that way. Their mindset is just, well, this is what's popular. I'm going to say that I'm bisexual, but then they have relationships with the other sex. Because that's really the way God designed it. But because of the course of this world, they're being pushed and they're being swayed, and so they'll say, oh, yeah, I'm bisexual. Oh, I'm a homosexual. I'm a girl. I'm a boy, right? And they start switching things around, my pronouns and all that kind of stuff. Listen, no one would say that if there wasn't pressure from this world. He, him, her, they, zer, zoo, za, bee, ba, boo, bee. It's nonsense. And yet people are in it. Why? Because there's a push. There's a course of this world. There is a flow that they're involved in. And they don't even know they're caught in the current. Notice what it goes on to say, though. According to the course of this world, according to who? The prince of the power of the air. See, we didn't realize it, but there is a spirit behind that flow. There's someone who is causing the current, who's moving the waters, stirring things up behind the scenes. Who is that? That's the devil. That's Satan. You say, well, why is he the prince of the power of the air? Here's the reason why. Number one, you can't see him. He's invisible. And number two, because when Adam and Eve, who had dominion and authority on the earth, rebelled against the commandment of God, they fell from their position, and the devil usurped authority, therefore taking over the lease of the earth. Now, Jesus has taken back the keys and the dominion, and yet the devil is still loosed on the earth, and that's why he's the prince of the power of the air, because for those who are not in the kingdom of God, they're still under the kingdom of darkness, and they're still under the sway of the wicked one. The Bible talks about that sway. It's the course of this world. It's that current that comes through culture, that comes through mindsets, that comes through ideologies. It comes through all of the systems of this world, because the devil is stirring that up. So it's according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Look at this. The spirit who now works, what does he do? He works. How many know the devil is working hard? Who now works where? In the sons of disobedience. How could people be so evil? How could they be so stupid? How could they do things that are so wicked? Here's how, because the devil is behind it. Because they're enslaved. Verse number 3, among whom also we once conducted ourselves. Where? In the lust of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the what? Mind. You see that right there? Without God, our flesh and our mind are linked up. That's why before Christ you did the things that you did and had no problem doing them, because you were caught up in the flow. It was ungodly and you didn't even realize it. You just went along with the way of the world. But see, and we're by nature children of wrath just as the others. Right there, the flesh and the mind, when they get together, you're gonna do the wrong things. And when they do, we end up obeying sin and the devil is at work in our actions. I'm not saying that you're demon possessed. What I'm saying is that the devil is using you and you didn't even know it. He was your master. And even as a Christian, if you allow your flesh and your soul to link up, you're gonna play into the devil's plans. As a Christian. Again, you're not possessed, you're not demon possessed, but you will be used the wrong way. You're gonna end up working unrighteousness and uncleanness and lawlessness. That's what the devil wants. But see, there's that spirit that was at work in us before. Now there's a different spirit at work in us. When you gave your heart and life to the Lord, there was an exchange that was made, your spirit for God's spirit. You live in him, and now he lives in you. And when your spirit, when I say your spirit, your Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you, that's my God, that's my Jesus, that's my Holy Spirit, right? When your spirit and your mind link up, when you say, I'm gonna serve God according to the Spirit, guess what happens? Now, God is at work in your life and he's able to use you to bring about his glory on the earth. Praise the Lord. So where do we come into this, right? We talked a lot about God, talked a lot about the devil and their work. Where do we work? How do we get involved in this? What is our part? Where is our effort? Well, first thing is this, you gotta work at learning. Gotta work at learning. You know, we didn't know any better before. We didn't understand, and so we have to learn the ways of God. Gotta learn the word of God. Gotta learn some things and learn some life lessons. I remember the story of two guys that were sitting down having dinner, and there was a television there in the restaurant, and a newsflash came on. There was a high-speed car chase. One of the guys looks at each other and says, hey, did you see what's on the 8 o'clock news? He goes, oh yeah. He goes, I'll bet you $20 they catch the guy. He goes, you're on. So they're watching. All of a sudden, they throw out a tack strip. The car goes across it. The tires blow up. They end up screeching to the side of the road, and they catch the guy. The other guy pulls out the $20. Here you go. They caught him. He goes, no, I can't accept that. I saw it on the 6 o'clock news. I knew it was going to happen. The other guy looked at him. He says, no, I'll take the 20 because I saw it on the 6 o'clock news too. I just didn't think he'd do it again. I thought he would have learned his lesson. See, we got to learn the lessons. Things that we go through are for our learning. Things that are contained in the scriptures are for our learning. Doctrine comes before doing. We said that they were delivered a doctrine. There was a system of teaching that was given to them that they understood. And because they obeyed that form of doctrine, now all of a sudden their lives were in God rather than in the flesh and in the devil. And so doctrine comes before doing. That means that learning comes before living. We've got to learn before we live. So don't be so hard on yourselves. If you're new in this place, my goodness, keep coming, keep learning, keep growing. Keep adding things to your life day by day. Listen, I'm not the same Christian I was last year. Why? Because I'm learning, I'm growing. And I thank God I'm not the same Christian I was 10 years ago or 20 years ago or even 30 years ago when I first gave my heart and life to the Lord. I've been at this a long time, but we never stop learning, but you've got to work at it. You got to get into your scriptures. You got to get into church. You got to get into conversations that are godly. You got to get into the things of God. Get into prayer and learn what God has to say. Turn to the book of Titus. Titus chapter number 2. You're there. Keep going past Ephesians, 1st, 2nd Timothy. Find Titus. I have a son named Titus. He was in the first service today. 15 years old, getting ready to drive. Please pray for me, everybody. And he's my youngest. My goodness. Titus chapter 2. He's a good kid. I'm grateful. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11 and verse number 12. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Look at the grace of God, the sovereign divine ability of God to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. God's power in us to do what his truth demands of us. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Look at verse 12. Teaching us. We just said you got to work at learning. So who's going to teach you? The grace of God's going to teach you. The ability of God's going to teach you. You cannot do this on your own. You have to have God. So it says teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. What is that? Is that your spirit or your what? Flesh. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Anybody got an NIV in the place? Anybody got NIV? You got an NIV? Notice what it says in verse number 2. It says, it teaches us to say what? No. That's a word that we need to learn. But it's not a word that comes easy to our flesh, because to our flesh, we want to say, yeah. I want it. I want it now. I want to go for it. But the grace of God says, no, you got to say no to that. Teaches us. That's not good for you. That's going to harm you. That's going to harm your family. That's going to harm your witness. No, you don't want to do that. That's going to harm your relationship with God. Death will be produced. You'll be separated from God. So you got to say no. Can I teach you this word? Because some of you guys really need this word in your life. All right? Can everybody just look at me and say, no? No, that's pretty good. Let's try that again. Say it with some authority. Say no. Here comes the devil, and he's tempting you. All that evil devil, he wants to be your master, wants to make you a slave again, put you under his thumb, and make you do his will. What are you going to shout at the devil in that moment? No. Ooh, man, that's good. See, when you learn that word by the grace of God, and you say no, and then what did I teach you last week, right? We take that thought and we replace it with the word of God. Now all of a sudden you're crossing back over into the spirit of God. Are you listening today? Okay? So when the devil comes at you, no! And then you start to declare the word of God and get back into the spirit. You've got to work at it. You've got to work at learning. You also got to work at obedience. Notice he said you obeyed that form of doctrine that was delivered to you. So once you learn something, it's time to do something. I love what John Stott said. He said, sin is inevitable, but it is never necessary. You're going to mess up. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Why? Because we still live in this flesh. It will take place. And yet it's never necessary. That's why we're learning, and that's why we're working at obedience, is because we can overcome the flesh. You don't have to sin. You will sin. You'll miss the mark, but my goodness, God is saying, hey, work at it, because you're going to grow at it. You will never be sinless, but you will sin less. Are you listening today? The more we work at it, the less we will sin. Roger Staubach, who led the Dallas Cowboys in the World Championship in 1971, admitted that his position as a quarterback who didn't call his own signals was a source of trial for him. Coach Landry sent in every play. He told Roger when to pass. He told him when to run. He told him only in emergency situations could he change the play, and he had better be right. Even though Roger considered Coach Landry to have a genius mind when it came to football strategy, pride said that he should be able to run his own team. Roger later said, I had to face up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. Can I repeat that last sentence again? Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. Let me try it one more time. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. See, some of us are so unfulfilled in life. Some of us, life is so dissonant. It's just that nothing is at peace. And we don't have the victory that we need. We're constantly battling the same old sins. Here's the reason why, is because we haven't learned yet and we haven't worked at obedience yet. But once you learn to obey, there will be harmony, fulfillment, and victory. But it comes down to us making up our mind that God is the one who calls the shots, and I'm just going to do what he says, and all of a sudden God brings about the victory on your behalf. You will overcome the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16, in the New Living Translation, he says this. He says, so think clearly. What is that? That's your, come on, help me out. Help me preach this sermon today. That's your what? Your mind, right? Think clearly and exercise what? Self-control. See, when your mind links up with your spirit, it's going to control your body. Really, that word is temperance. It means to set the temperature, right? You, in your mind, when you think clearly, say, no, I'm going to set the temperature to God right now. And then God comes in and he works it out. But see, if you set the temperature, I'm going to set the temperature to the flesh, guess what? The devil comes in and he works you. So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the grace of salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Verse 14, so you must live as God's what? Obedient children. See, a lot of people call themselves Christians. I'm a child of God. And then they're disobedient. And they don't realize that God disciplines his children. Did you know that? The Bible talks about beaten with many stripes or beaten with few. Listen, when I get to heaven, I don't want any more stripes. The Bible talks about the judgment in heaven. That with the things that we do, even though we're not judged according to sin, we will be judged according to our works. And they're going to pass before God, and the fire of God will hit them in judgment. And if we built with wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn up. If we built with gold, silver, and precious stones, it will remain. Listen, a lot of people, I got my mansion in heaven. I'm good. I'm going to live however I want to live. You're going to get to your mansion in heaven, and the whole West Wing is going to be burnt down because you didn't build the right way. Why do you think God has to wipe away every tear from our eyes when we get to heaven? See, some people think of heaven as only bliss. Only the good, right? But in heaven, we're going to realize some things. The Bible says we'll suffer losses. Suffering is in heaven. And God's going to have to wipe away every tear from our eyes. It's okay. You're here. I know you came out smelling like smoke, but you made it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you can read about that. You can find out about that. See, we got to live as God's obedient children. Notice the next verse, the next part of the verse, verse 14. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. That's your flesh and your soul linked up. He says, you didn't know any better then. You hadn't learned anything about God by then. You were just in the flow of the course of this world. But look at verse 15. But now that you've been taught, now that you've learned how to obey, but now you must be, what's that word right there? Holy, exclusive to God. You must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. See, we got to work at learning. We got to work at obedience. And we got to work at number three today, holiness. Holiness is something that we have to work at. We have to work at making ourselves exclusive to God. How do we do that? When our mind and our spirit link up together with the Spirit of God, all of a sudden now we can be exclusive to God. We've had to work at holiness in this church over the years. We've had to work at not allowing the ways of this world and the course of this world. There is a way to get more people into the church. There is ways that we could, man, if I just decide I'm going to preach politics, I could get all the political people in church. Oh, Pastor Dan's over there preaching what I like, and all of a sudden they're in church. Listen, I'm not here to preach politics. I'm here to preach the kingdom of God. That impacts our politics. But I'm not going to preach, Paul. I'm not preaching someone's platform. I'm not preaching someone's ideas. You know, there are streams that people flow in, and people like these great preachers online. I could preach what they're preaching. That way, the people that are interested in that can find the algorithm and can find us, and they can come, and oh, wow, isn't Pastor Dan? No, I'm not doing it. I'm not playing the game. Why? Because this is a holy place, and whatever God says to do, that's what we're going to do. Why? Because we're exclusively his. And so we're not going that way. Not doing it. Remember when Easter, even with our marketing, we've had to stay holy. When Easter, I had the idea, I was the XP at the time, and I had the idea, I said, hey, you know, we've got that billboard with the bull and the circle with the slash, no bull, you know, only the truth at the rock. Everyone loves that billboard. What if we, for Easter, put bunny ears and big buck teeth on the bull, and we said, instead of no bull, no bunny, only the truth at Easter at the rock. You know, like, that would be funny. And I remember at the time, Pastor Jim and Deborah were there, and they just had something in their heart. They said, you know what, Dan, Easter's holy. It's a holy day. We're talking about the resurrection of our Lord. We're not joking about, this is not the time for those things. Even though it's funny, even though we all would laugh and say, oh man, that's so funny, right? This is a holy time. You know what we put on our billboard that year? Easter is holy. We proclaim that over the Inland Empire. My goodness, see, we had to work at holiness in this church, not allow those things to creep in. My wife and I, we work at holiness in our home. We don't allow certain movies. We don't allow certain music. We don't allow certain television shows and things like that. It doesn't mean we don't ever watch TV or watch a movie. You know, and there's some movies, man, we're like, we're fast-forwarding this, you know. But if it persists, it's out. I don't care if I don't know what happens at the end. There are movies we have turned off. There's movies we've walked out of the theater, even though we paid good money. And we watched, when there was something that we said, nah, this is grieving our spirit, we're out. Bye. I don't care about the money. I'm out. I'm not letting that stay in my spirit. Things that we used to listen to, I mean, I tell you, having kids has been such an eye-opener for us because we'd be like, oh, you remember that song? We'll turn it on. All of a sudden, we'll turn the song off. I'm not letting my kids listen to that. Because as kids, we thought, Now we're like, Turn it off. What are they talking about? Is that what they were saying all this time? But we're holy. So we get that out of our lives. When I was a young believer, I remember I had a buddy. I had a comic book collection. He had a CD collection. We took my comic book collection, probably worth thousands. I had number ones in there, unique comic books that the world would have said, man, keep that. Sell that. You'll sell it for thousands. Literally, if you look at the value of some of them. I burnt them to ash. Why? Because I'm holy. I'm getting that stuff out of my life. A lot of those things are demonic. A lot of the names of the superheroes and even the villains are known names of demons. I had to get it out of my life. He had these CDs with explicit lyrics, and I remember on my front porch, he shattered them all right there on the concrete. Shattered them all. We collected all those pieces, and I took them to a church in San Diego that I was interning at the time. We made a mosaic out of them, of a cross. I remember watching the kids walk up and, why would you break this? That's a good CD. And we're like, because it's ungodly, and we're holy. We're getting those things out of our life, and we're submitting it at the foot of Jesus at the cross. See, we're a holy, you got to work at holiness. Some of you guys might need to go home today and get rid of some stuff out of your house. Maybe some books, maybe some magazines, maybe some websites, maybe it's numbers on your phone that connect you to unholy things and unholy practices. Might be your dealer, might be your ex, might be that hookup. You know, we're in a culture, they've got words for that stuff that I won't even use in this pulpit because they're derogatory. You need to get rid of that. You're holy. You can't be seen doing that. Do we know better than God? God says, I am holy. You need to be holy as I am holy. I'm exclusively yours. God gave you all of his heart. He gave you all. He gave you everything, poured it out on the cross. Now he says, will you give me everything? See, if you're saying I'm a Christian, but not going to work, I'm holy. I'm a Christian and everything is God's. My future, my finances, my family, my destiny, my thoughts, my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit, my everything is God's. We got to work at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 1, again, New Living Translation says this, because we have these promises, dear friends. Let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. Notice we're a three-part being. Which part is missing there? We saw body and spirit. What part's missing? Your soul, right? Your mind. You know why it's missing from this? Because our body and our spirit are at odds with one another, and your mind is where the battle's fought and won. If you can link your mind up with your spirit, you will dominate the body. But if your mind keeps linking up with your body, it's going to dominate the spirit. So if you're going to cleanse yourself, notice it didn't say God clean you up. The blood of Jesus has already cleaned you. The word of God is available to you, but it's like a basin of water. It's able to show you where you're dirty, and it's also able to give you the ability to clean it up, but you have to apply it to clean up. That's why he says, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. It's all fought right here in your mind. And let us work towards complete holiness because we fear God. We tremble at his word. We respect and honor and are in awe of God. Therefore, God, I'm going to clean my life up. I'm going to live a life that's exclusive to you. God, you're holy, and I fear you. Therefore, I will be holy. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Just take a moment in the presence of God. What is God speaking to you in this moment? Just ask the Holy Spirit, and then listen for his voice. What is God speaking to you? As God is speaking to you, make sure to write it down. It doesn't take long for God to speak. Sometimes we think, was that me or was that God? Well, listen, if it was in your heart, not in your head, but in your heart, it might sound like the voice of your conscience. And if it lines up with the Bible and is not in opposition to what the Word of God says and carries the peace of God with it, that's how you know it's God. Doesn't mean that your mind will accept it. Sometimes your mind is freaking out, but your heart has peace. Because God might be asking you to do something that mentally you say, I can't do that. And yet in your heart, you know. There's a settling that says, no, that's God. That's what God wants. I'm going to step out and do it. I wonder if maybe there's one of these three areas that you say, I would need to work in that area. Might be working at learning. Some of you guys are new and you need to learn. Some of you guys have been around for a long time, but you never applied yourself to learning. You just lived with things. You say, I need to learn about that. I need to learn my faith. Maybe you need to go and get a faith-filled friend at the cafe before church and just say, take me through the discipleship materials. I need to learn. I need to grow. Might be that you need to work at obedience. Some of us, myself included, we just choose the wrong thing at times. And God's saying, hey, you need to work at that. You need to work at obedience. Or maybe you're saying, you know, really, I need to work at holiness. The Bible calls it the process of sanctification, where you're setting yourself apart as God's special and holy people. God might be giving you some practical steps. Make sure to write them down. As we conclude this service with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to make sure before we conclude that if you have yet to give God all of your heart and all of your life, that I give you one more opportunity. We already had one opportunity right after praise and worship, but some of you guys came late. Or maybe you didn't come, you hesitated. But you know in your heart of hearts that you haven't yet surrendered all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus. And you know you need to do that. Yes, you've been a good person. Yes, you've attended church. But yet you've never surrendered everything to God, making him your Lord and your Savior. If that's you and you want to give God all of your heart and life, would you just slip a hand up in the air right now? Right now. Go ahead and just put it up in the air. If you're saying, I need to give God all my heart, I need to give God all my life. Is there anybody in this place? I see a hand in the family room. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else up on top there? Yes, thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. No one's criticizing or judging, condemning. This is just you and God. If you know you've yet to surrender everything to God, slip a hand up high in the air. Anybody else? There's two people already. Anybody else? Up top? Yeah, I see you. There you go. Fantastic. Another one up top. Got you guys up there. Praise the Lord. Down here, up front. Yeah, I see you. Got you. Anyone else? Just want to give you another opportunity. Oh, I got you right there in the center. Yeah. Center up top. Got you. Thank you. God bless you. I see you in the family. Another one in the family. Thank you. God bless you. You can put that hand down to when you get tired. Anyone else? Just one more moment. One more moment. Then we're going to pray together. Right where you're at. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you just repeat this prayer in surrender, giving your heart and life to Jesus? Everybody join in together with our brothers and sisters. Say this out loud. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. I give you all my heart and all my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me my sin. Cleanse me my past. And give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son. That he came, he died, and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Let it be known that from this day on, I am saved. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. Headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can we give the Lord a great big praise? Hey guys, welcome to the family of God. At this time, I'm going to dismiss one group of people. Our faith-filled friends, if you're part of the discipleship ministry here at The Rock, would you just be dismissed right now to the foyer, and we'll hand out materials on the way out. I just want to make sure we get you guys out. I know I oftentimes keep you guys late for altar calls and things like that. I'm so grateful for you guys. I'm trying to get you guys out on time today. So our faith-filled friends are going to be outside. They're going to have some materials available for you. For those of you that prayed that prayer from your heart, I want you to just connect with them for a quick minute. They have some free literature available for you. Just head on up there and just say, hey, I prayed that prayer. They'll hand it to you. They want to connect with you for a quick moment, inviting you back to church. You can meet with them like we talked about, so that you can learn and so that you can grow in obedience and in holiness, all right? So make sure those of you that pray that prayer on your way out, go ahead and grab those materials. Can we all stand together? Praise God. I'm so grateful. Anybody enjoy church today? Wasn't it just phenomenal? God is moving at The Rock. And we're just grateful, 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 grateful. Thank you guys for being a part of what God is doing here. Thanks for bringing people. Thanks for loving people of the Inland Empire. Man, it's so good. God's going to do great things in our future. We got great things in store. Tonight, 6 p.m., another opportunity to get back to church. Different music, different message, but another opportunity to grow in the things of God. Wednesday night at 7, ladies, Thursday morning, 9:30. Friday night for the young adults, and then we're back in the weekend next week. Gonna have a great time in things. Got a men's breakfast next week, man. Let's eat together, all right? Let me bless you as you go. Would you lift your hands to the Lord, even online? Come on, lift your hands right now. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare out loud on purpose and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at The Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.